Good evening. It's good to see you. It's good to be with you. And it's good to have an opportunity to study God's Word. If my calendar serves me correctly, this will be the last opportunity in 2022 for me to address you. Sometime back, it was back before Thanksgiving, I received a call in which there was one who inquired, how would things be different if I were to come back home now? That conversation led me to this study and furthermore to several of the thoughts I share with you this evening. I recognize that by your attendance, many of the things I say tonight will not be directed at you or to you. But I hope that you will receive some things from it that will help you in addressing others. I also hope and pray that it will help all of us draw closer to God by an understanding of what one must do to return home. During the Christmas season, hearts are often pulled in that direction, pulled to go home. Military service men and women often want to be at home with family. Anyone who serves in a job that keeps them on the road most of the year might desire to be at home. Young children especially want to go home. They want to see their parents. They want to see their grandparents. They want to see other relatives, close friends of the family as well. People who are estranged have a strong pull during this holiday season to consider home and maybe even entertain the thought of going back home. So I ask the question this evening, have you come back home? Have you come back home to the family of God? Have you come to life again? Luke chapter 15, we find our text beginning in verse number 11. A man had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the share of the estate that falls to me. So he divided his wealth between them. And not many days later, the younger son gathered everything together and went on a journey into a distant country. And there he squandered his estate with loose living. Now when he had spent everything, a severe famine occurred in that country and he began to be impoverished. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would have gladly filled his stomach with the pods that the swine were eating, and no one was giving anything to him. But when he had came to his senses, he said, How many of my father's hired men have more than enough bread, but I am dying here with hunger? I will get up and go to my father and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me as one of your hired men. So he got up and came to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion for him and ran and embraced him, and his father kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his slaves, Quickly bring out the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf, kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and has come to life again. He was lost and has been found, and they began to celebrate. Now his older son was in the field, and when he came and approached the house, he heard music and dancing. And he summoned one of the servants and began inquiring what these things could be. And he said to him, Your brother has come, and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has received him back safe and sound. But he became angry and was not willing to go in. And his father came out and began pleading with him. But he answered and said to his father, Look, for so many years I have been serving you and have never neglected a command of yours. And yet you have never given me a young goat so that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came, who has devoured your wealth with prostitutes, you killed the fattened calf for him. And he said to him, "Son, you have always been with me, and all that is mine is yours. But we had to celebrate and rejoice, for this brother of yours was dead and has begun to live. He was lost and has been found." Have you come to life again? Have you come back from the distant place? The younger son went on a journey into a distant country, verse 13 says. He was the one who put the distance between himself and his father, between himself and his brother, his family. He was the one that created the distance, and most likely in his mind, he probably blamed his father. He was thinking about the wealth, according to verse 11. He was also thinking about the freedom, freedom from work and freedom from the monotony of his life at home, according to verses 17 through 19. But this kept playing in his mind until he went to his father, requested his share of the estate, and then soon after gathered everything together and left. Destitute living is a lack of restraint, marked by indulgence in things. And a multitude of our English translations began to help us then to understand the living of this young son when he was away from home. New American Standard Bible says loose living. I believe it's King James or New King James. One says prodigal living and reckless living. There's one that says riotous living, and the NIV says wild living. All of these words translate the Greek text. It's an accurate representation of the lifestyle that this young son chose to live and chose to use as a means to create separation and distance between he and his father. He was the one who moved. Not his father, not his brother, not anyone else. He was the one who moved. He went into a distant country, a distant place. And with that distance, he left behind many who were disrespected. He disrespected his father. For the younger son was going against his upbringing. Surely his father did not teach him to behave and to live this way. Surely his father did not encourage such behavior. The father had worked hard to gain the estate that he had, most likely with his children in mind. He wanted to gain all that he could. He wanted to provide for them a livelihood that as best he could. And indeed, one day he wanted to give them the portion of their estate, the share that was to go to the younger son. Was then taken by him into that distant country and wasted, again disrespecting the father. The older son also was disrespected. This may be at least part of the reason why the older son became angry, verse 28. You see, the older son had to do more work because of the absence of his younger brother's help, verse 25. Help in the field. Help in watching after, caring for, and providing for those hired men who worked for them. But then there were the hired men who were also disrespected. More work came to them because of that younger son who left it to them to take it up. Have you come back from the distant place? The distant place of destitute living, leaving behind disrespected people? Have you come back from the famine? After the younger son squandered his estate with loose living, a severe famine occurred in that country, verses 13 and 14. Now, a severe famine usually speaks of a great shortage, usually of food, but the younger son experienced a famine of many other things as well. A great shortage of friends. Verse 16 says that no one was giving anything to him. In today's society, it seems that if someone were to leave home, they almost inevitably could find someone who would feel sorry for them, take up the responsibility of caring for them, providing for them all that they needed, and they would never go without wanting. As a result, when a shortage of friends has to be faced, one comes face to face with the reality that not everyone approves. A great shortage of things. Verse number 13 says that he gathered everything together, everything that was a part of his share of the estate, and he went into a distant country and squandered his estate. Verse 14 says he spent everything, then began to be impoverished or reduced to poverty. When all of the things get used up, when all of the things that we have are no longer ours, we began to question ourselves, question our use of these things, question our motives, question others. But it gets us to thinking. A great shortage of opportunities. Verse number 15 says that he was sent into the field of one to feed swine. And again, verse 16, no one was giving anything to him. At home, there are many opportunities given to us that we do not have outside of home. Friends, family, acquaintances often will be a great reference, if not one who secures a job for us. He had work at home, but when he left home, he had no work. He seems to have spent everything that he had before he went looking for a job. Why did he not get a better job than feeding swine? Was it because he left behind so many opportunities that were afforded him at home but were not afforded him on the road? A great shortage of wealth also ensued when he spent everything, his share of the estate, verse 12, the money ran out and the friends ran dry. The message is very simple. Eventually, the famine must be faced. So have you come back from that famine? Come back to all the things that you left behind when you chose to leave. Have you come back from the senselessness? Verse 17 says, when he came to his senses. When the younger son left, he was thinking primarily about the wealth, according to verse 17. Verses 18 through 19, the message is about freedom. Freedom of getting away from all the work that he had to do at home, freedom from his father, freedom even from his home. He likely ignored the advice of his father. He probably disregarded the discipline and instruction of his father. But when the younger son came to his senses, notice what question he asked in verse 17. But when he came to his senses, he said, how many of my father's hired men have more than enough bread, but I am dying here with hunger? When this young man came to his senses, he began to think about who and what supplied the wealth he once enjoyed. He thought about his father, the father that had worked his life to gain and to gather, the things which he would share with his sons eventually, the things which he had now wasted his portion of. But he thought about the father. He thought about the work. The hired men were men who had work, and unlike him, they had what he needed. They had enough bread to eat. And then there was the bread. How often has it been said that we live in one of the world's greatest countries? We are truly rich by the things that we have at our disposal, food being one of them. Enough bread to eat. In fact, his thought was that they had more than enough bread. But as this man thought about who and what supplied the wealth that he once enjoyed, he also thought about responsibility. With freedom comes responsibility, while responsibility may earn freedom. This man wanted freedom, so he went to try to find it rather than to work for it. The phrase, when he came to his senses, indicates that the younger son came to himself. In other words, he came back to the things that really were deep down inside who he was. Verse 18 and verse 19, he says, I will get up and go to my father and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me as one of your hired men. It is senseless to consider the expectations or the reactions that would come to one because of their pride and shame. You see, it's pride and shame that often lead us to believe that we know how others will respond to us. But this young son did not focus on those things. He did not focus on what he thought his father would do or would say. Rather, if he had, he likely would have talked himself out of returning home. But having come to his senses, the younger son returned to the father, who responded not in senselessness, but sensibly. Verses 20 through 24. He saw his son. He ran or felt compassion first for him and ran to his son. He embraced his son. He kissed his son. And he prepared to celebrate. Thankfully, the son did not focus on the things that would keep one away from returning home. Rather, he focused on what he needed to focus on. His condition, his situation, and how he needed to get out of it. Have you come back from the senselessness? Have you come back from the sin? The younger son came to his senses, acknowledging that he was missing enough bread to eat, acknowledging where he was, that he was dying here with hunger, what he should do, I will get up and go to my father, how he should handle going back home, acknowledging his sin, accepting his unworthiness, and appreciating what the father could give him. Then came what I believe may have been the most difficult part of the comeback. Verse 20 says, so he got up and came to his father. How difficult it must have been to go back to his father. The shame that he had in squandering all that he was given. The pride that had been destroyed and put down because he wasn't able to do things on his own like he thought he could. So many things that could have hindered him, weighed heavily upon him. But he overcame. He got up and he came to his father. The younger son was the only one who could make the decision required to come back. The father could not make the decisions for his son. The older brother could not choose for his brother. The man who allowed him to go into his field and feed swine could not decide for him. This was the decision that the young man had to make. And he was the only one who could make it for his own case. The decision to change had to come from the young man. Reality had to set in and be accepted. Things were better off before he left home. A lot of pride had to cease, be cut off, be destroyed. A lot of shame had to be overcome. And the younger son had to carry out the right course of action. He had to get up. He had to leave his surroundings. He had to go to a new place. But he had to return to his Father. Have you come back from the sin? Have you come to safety and soundness? The father received his younger son back safe and sound, verse 27. All that the younger son had done while living at a distant place, living in famine, senselessness, and sin, was endangering himself and truly no one else. The younger son endangered his physical health while living in the famine, verse 14, and while behaving in such a way as to include prostitutes, verse 30. He was putting his mental health in danger by the weight of his poor choices, his world crashing in around him. He was putting his spiritual health in danger by the sin which he had committed against heaven and in the sight of his Father, verse 18. All of these things he seems to have been avoiding while he was safe and sound at home. And he could return to it if he would but make the choice to return home. Have you come back to safety and soundness? Have you come back to life? Have you come back to life again? You see, the father said to the older son in verse 32, "We had to celebrate and rejoice, for this brother of yours was dead and has begun to live, and was lost and has been found." At home, the younger son, along with the older son, enjoyed all that belonged to the father. Verse 31, he said, "Son, you have always been with me," speaking to the older son, "and all that is mine is yours." All of the things that the younger son lost out on, moved away from, was enjoyed at home and were his. While he was there, wealth, opportunity, so many things. But as a result of his choice, he had left them. And the older son, while he had not left them, had the mindset as if the things of the Father belonged only to the Father. But the Father said, "All that is mine is yours." Living at home, our parents provide for us most everything we need in life. Food, shelter, clothing. These things are provided. They provide it for themselves and by necessity also provide it for us. Verse 24, the father said, "For this son of mine was dead and has come to life again. He was lost and has been found." And they began to celebrate. When we're in this safety and soundness of home, there is reason for rejoicing. There's reason for celebrating. But when we are dead, when we are living a life that is dying, it's hard to celebrate at home. Yet when there is a return of one who comes home, it's time of great rejoicing. Have you come back? Have you come to life again? Have you come back to the family of God? Following COVID, our attitude toward gathering together did a number on our willingness to get together. The wealth of the additional time to spend however we wished promoted greediness among some who simply want to hold on to it now as extra time for selfish reasons. Freedom. Freedom from pesky people who are concerned about our spiritual well-being and want us to return to assemble once again. Was set in place as a routine of avoidance during that time. And now we simply choose to stay away and avoid those pesky people. And thus, we have not returned. Like the church at Ephesus, some during that time left their first love. Revelation 2 and verse 4. They have left Christ and His bride, the church. Have you come back? Have you come back to the family of God? Have you faced the famine, a shortage of godly people, godly things, and godly exercises that have left some spiritually impoverished? A shortage of friends, a shortage of things and opportunities, and or a shortage of wealth has left some lonely, depressed, and even senseless. Have you come to your senses? Stop worrying about how you think people will respond to you. That's senseless. God gives every good thing and every perfect gift, James 1, verse 17. It's to God then that we are responsible. You have a responsibility to God that should far outweigh anything that any man seems to think about where you've been or what you've done. But it's time to come home. Have you left the sin? You are the only one who can leave your sins. You are the only one who can come back from your sins. But that is true for every person. Have you returned safe and sound? Sinners often get trapped in sin, James chapter 1, verses 14 and 15, because they are carried away and enticed by their own lust. Then they give in to the lust, and sin results. If a sinner stays in sin, James says that when sin is accomplished, it brings forth death. If we live in danger long enough, the result will be death. Have you come back to life? Even when we were dead in our transgressions, God made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. Ephesians 2 verse 5. In 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 15, the Bible says that Christ died for all so that they who live might no longer live for themselves, but for Him who died and rose again on their behalf. Paul would then write in Galatians 2 and verse 20, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself up for me. We cannot remain at a distance, whatever the cause, and be reunited. We cannot stay in a famine and survive. We cannot continue in senselessness and receive the prodigal son's return celebration. We cannot persist in sin and obtain a better outcome. We cannot live in danger and be in good physical and mental health. We cannot go on dying and live. Sin will forever take us farther than we want to go, keep us longer than we ever want to stay, and cost us far more than we ever wanted to pay. Sin is not to be toyed with. It's not to be played with. So I challenge you tonight. Make 2023 a comeback year. A time to come back to life. But it's never too soon to start a comeback. So rather than wait till 2023 actually arrives, start right now. Come back from whatever distance you have allowed to separate you from God. Come back from the famine or great shortage of godly people, godly things, and godly exercises in your life. Come back from the senselessness that may have led you away or has kept you away and is keeping you from coming to your senses. Come back from the sin to which you are enslaved, Romans 6 and verse 6. Come back to safety and soundness. Come back to life again. Repent of the sin done against heaven. Confess that Jesus is the Christ, the Savior of the world. Be baptized to wash away your sins. As a child of God, as a child of the Father, you can come back by repenting and asking God for forgiveness through prayer. But it's time to come home. It's time to come back again. It's time to come to life. And the Father is waiting. The Father is watching. Who will come home? As together we stand and as we sing.